Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thing about a big long thin one next, long thin bendy, yeah. Bendy one,
a weird looking one. Hello, I'm the main character of 20 Minute Tips, and on this podcast we're going to talk about two Celtic games. I brought two friends along with me to help, Martin Melly and Stephen Arbuckle. Would you like to say hello?
Yes, hello. I would. Hello, main character.
what do you think of the new intro?
Am I supporting character? I'll take it right.
He still didn't give us his name, did he?
Jamie. Well, it's going to be underneath here anyway. It's going to be underneath here anyway for anyone that's watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on your usual podcast platform, feel free to check us out on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. And as usual, patreon.com/20minutetims is where you can support the podcast. However, more important things to discuss than character roles and Patreon and all that sort of stuff. Melly, first away win since St. Valentine's Day. I'm in love.
Oh, it was a good one and a much needed one. The thing about this one was that you can always improve on performances. The performance wasn't the best, but you can't improve on results. And from what we've seen of Celtic this season, every game we've won, we've kind of won convincingly. We've never went behind in a game and come back to win in the league. We've never drawn level and then went on to win the game in the league. So it was good to see Celtic fight against a bit of adversity and grind a result out, because we've seen the good football this season, but we need to win these games, and that's what we've done yesterday.
Ange needed it, didn't he, Stephen? I mean, the pressure was on.
Yeah, well, to paraphrase the song that was ringing out round Pittodrie, that was the day that we won away finally. And yet it doesn't say too much going forward. It doesn't answer all the questions, but at least proves that on a one-off basis, Celtic are capable of doing that. They're capable of, as Melly said, just going and forcing a win, just finding a win out of somewhere. Because I'll be honest, as soon as Aberdeen equalised in that game, I thought, oh, here we go. Another absolutely disastrous result. And my mind started going to where we can possibly go from here, because we've not had that question, as I say, not quite answered yet, but we've not even really addressed it this season. No. Can we come through a wee bit of adversity? So it's good. I mean, it's fellow strugglers, if you like, Aberdeen, but they were right up for it. They've got players like Scott Brown in their team who aren't going to sit back and take it off Celtic. So it's a fine result to get a much, much needed win. And it keeps us on an even keel, because another thing, we're about to go into an international break as well. Imagine having dropped points ahead of another international break, having 2 weeks to stew on how bad Celtic are. So at least we don't have that.
I mean, you need to try and stop yourself tying yourself in knots with the points you're trying to make when you're doing these podcasts and when you're following Celtic. You know, we said last week, my big thing was, and it has been for a couple of weeks, you need to try and find a way to win these games. And you can have your rebuild, but we must also win the games. And that means some games are not going to be pretty. Some games are not going to be the best. They're all going to be 4 or 5-0. And I think this kind of falls into the ugly win category, Melly.
Yeah, it does. And on Sunday, well, yesterday, it just shows you, like, even just having Kyogo McGregor back, it gave us two options off the bench then, and that's sort of what changed the game. Ayeti and Rogic came on. I don't know if Ayeti touched the ball, but Tom Rogic had a hand in the goal and Kyogo out in that left-hand side. So the changes did sort of swing it Celtic's way, even though they weren't playing that well. So we just seen these wee differences make a huge difference in the long term, and Celtic got that win. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't great, that could have swung either way, but we got the win, we got that monkey off the back, and now it needs to be the start of something. It felt like that sort of Ronnie Dial a game where Virgil van Dijk scored away to Aberdeen late on when Celtic had 10 men. Incidentally, do you know where we were watching that?
No.
We were in Manchester that weekend. I mean, we were at the Man United Palace game.
Yeah. I mean, that Man U game was a faff to get tickets for. I had to join a club and then I had to pay for the tickets. And then was it not a boring game? Was it not 1-0?
It's 1-0.
No, sure, yeah. Wonderful.
But it felt like that Ronnie Dial game. We right as everybody behind it now. So Celtic now need to go on a win of games, because after this international break, there's two Ferencváros games, but I think there's four or five league games. Hibs away is the toughest one, but the rest of them are all winnable. And Celtic have now been to Pittodrie, they've been to Tynecastle, Livingston and Ibrox. That's four of the tougher away games. So this needs to be the start of a run and build some momentum going into November, December time up to January.
Is Melly setting himself up for a fall here though, Stephen? Because saying now we've won one away game, we just need to, it needs to be the start of something. Is that maybe thinking that this progress is just going to be a constant upward curve?
Well, it never is it? It's never. This is why I'm keen to say that it hasn't answered all the questions. It's merely, it's a positive just now. Whether it leads to anything more positive going forward, I don't know yet, because I said that after the Betis game. I said, well, do you know what? Might have lost that game, but there are so many positives we can take from that game, and it's so encouraging going forward. And then since then, we've drawn Livingston and Dundee United. So it's not, these games don't signal the start of just like a complete run of 100% wins. But all it does, again, it's the point I made up first, all it does is prove that we can actually are capable of doing that.
And it's inside the club, isn't it? It's inside the dressing room. We can't have this constant downer. You can't have like players, because the more we start to lose these games, the more we start to lose points, it's just inevitable that sooner or later cracks will start appearing in the trust that the players have got in the manager. And, you know, there was periods in that game for sure where I'm looking at it going, these players are not really either comfortable or have the confidence to do what's being asked them. I'm not sure. We looked really disjointed still for long parts of that game.
I think it's a confidence thing, to be honest. I think some of the players aren't going to be up to it long term, but in the short term, we've already seen when we're winning 4-5-0, these players all want to get on the ball. But it's when we have that wee bit of adversity where Aberdeen get a goal, and it was from a set piece, but they were playing pretty well at the time, Aberdeen, and you sort of felt, oh, if they were coming in it towards the end of the first half. But Celtic have had that adversity and they dug in, and some players I felt were just trying to take the easy option instead of making those wee passes where a confident player would do that. But some players just are a level above that and made things happen for them, like Tom Rogic, Adam Montgomery showing great character, getting in there after not having another great game as well. David Turnbull's had a rough time at recently, and he sort of thought he was a lot better than this game. Yeah. So Celtic stepped up, and now when they've got a game like this and you need to recall on something, we've got this game to recall on. We can go, do you know what, we dug deep there and got that result there. So going forward, we've got this now. We need to use it to our advantage.
Do you know what one thing I noticed about having Kyogo back in the team, apart from all the positive, you know, attributes he offers and the closing down and helping with the shape of the team and all that, he has a lot of faith in his teammates to make the pass. And that's one thing I noticed lacking sometimes, especially with some of the younger players like Montgomery, for example, done it a few times in the game. Like you give the ball to somebody and you kind of don't have any confidence that they're going to be able to give you the ball back. Whereas Kyogo always thinks, right, so when that cross came in for the goal, he's like, right, I reckon he'll put it to the back post for me, and then gambles on it coming into the back post and he wins on it. And he doesn't get the ball all the time, but Kyogo's always making the run. He's always anticipating that his teammate will be able to find him.
Perpetual motion for Kyogo at times. It's, again, I don't want to use this as a means to have a go at a Yeti, but it's just completely different. Oh. Completely different having him in the team.
Yeti kills that team. He kills the team.
So what, I don't want to be as harsh as that, but you are 100% right. I can't disagree with that.
I don't want to be harsh.
What you mean is you're too much of a shitebag to say yourself.
What I mean is that I couldn't ever imagine myself saying it as bluntly as that, but now that you've said that, I do completely agree with you. He just doesn't fit at all. And it's even when he comes off the bench, it disappears, man. He's been off the bench in the last couple of games and barely touched the ball in either one of them. But on Kyogo, Just a tremendous player to have about. Even when he's not scoring goals, he hasn't scored in every game, although not far very off much, it. But he gives us a completely different dimension. He and McGregor do, actually. They both add so much to this Celtic team. It's unbelievable.
Were you happy with the midfield? Near Bitton dropped in there, raised a few eyebrows pre-match. It seems to me that he's sort of displaced James McCarthy a wee bit. Maybe. I think I wonder if, Ange, it's something that we discussed on the Tactics Board podcast a couple of seasons ago, and it's a podcast that we do on the Patreon where we scout players and we look at opposition players and we also look at the players we've brought in. And I think a season ago we sent a scout out to find a replacement for Scott Brown, and we were talking about how you might want to replace Scott Brown. And one of the things that came up was, well, we've kind of got Nir Bitton, who's this sort of combative defender, come midfielder. He's not so good as a central defender. We know what he offers. He doesn't have the defensive instincts. Yeah, but he's like pretty strong. He's decent on the ball. And could he maybe be an option in there as a sort of midfield, combative, defensive midfielder? And that's kind of what he was put in for against Aberdeen.
Short term, possibly, but long term, I don't think so. I don't want to see him ever at centre half again. He's only going to be a stopgap for me right now.
Well, we said on the previous show that him and Rogic and Ralston are good examples of players that if you just hang about long enough, you become a first team pick at Celtic.
And that's what we've been talking about for years. It's not Celtic not replacing players that I always speak about, that chipping away a quality, and that these guys find themselves still in the squad and then back in the team.
But who do you think he'd done on the day?
He was all right. I think Ange did switch it up a wee bit and had McGregor and him sitting with Turnbull ahead instead of McGregor and the two ahead. And Celtic worked it so that when we were in possession, it was Beaton sitting with McGregor going the left and Turnbull on the right. And I thought Turnbull played a lot better on that right-hand side because he's naturally right-footed and that's where he gets the assist from.
It's interesting you should mention that, just not to veer too much away from the Beaton thing, but do you think that was a tactical thing? Because the last couple of weeks we've spoken about Abada. His delivery's a bit poor, can't really beat a man, but I thought Turnbull's delivery for the right-hand side was really good, and I wonder if that's a wee tactical tweak Ange brought in to go, do you know what, Turnbull, you take responsibility for delivery for the right because Abada needs a bit of help out there.
Quite possibly. I think it might just be more a thing of Turnbull and Rogic just wasn't working.
Was for sure.
So when Turnbull's out there, he's on that right foot and he can swing in those early balls, and on the other side, McGregor, naturally left-footed, can get it in there. I'm still not... The balance of the midfield isn't right. Out of possession, Beaton and McGregor, it was all right, but we're still not enough players shown for the ball when we're playing out from the back. There's too many, and I think this is, again, the confidence thing, too many players just happy for the centre-halves to stay on it, and we've seen it in the Leverkusen game. There was about 30 seconds where Joe Hart was just stood there with the ball. It was crazy.
Oh, my God, we'll talk about that. That was absolutely brutal. There was stuff in this game as well. I mean, I was watching the game and I was doing some tweeting from the 20 minute times. There's a period in this game, maybe 20 minutes before the end, where everyone's just static before the goal came. Everyone's static, and I don't know what Ange's telling the players, right, but I know it's not that.
It'll not be that. No,
I know it's everybody stand still, because that was, you're watching it and you're going, what is going on here? We need somebody to try and beat a man, somebody to take a man on, somebody to try the difficult thing.
That's where I think the confidence thing comes into it, because if guys like that, it's when Cal McGregor steps up and goes, do you know what, if I lose the ball, I'll take that. But there's certain players who don't do that, who maybe aren't as confident as that, maybe aren't as experienced as that, maybe just don't have the mental strength to do that. So we're really lacking in that midfield. We're struggling to get the right balance. I still think McCarthy, McGregor and Turnbull could work if they were all fit, but hopefully we use this international break to up that. But there's still an imbalance in there. And as well with Ralston and Montgomery coming into there to help out as the inverted fullbacks, they give the ball away too much, as seen in the Leverkusen game. So,
some of the stuff we're going to talk about in this game, Stephen, is just repeated in the Leverkusen game. Ralston's won them, but did you want something to say?
Yeah, on Beaton, the midfielder. Now, Beaton has been good in midfield in the past for Celtic. We're going back a long way, though, is the only problem. that's my point. It's like, it's almost at a fit and firing Griffiths thing. Like, a fit and firing Beaton is a good midfielder. But
get a testimonial soon.
I know.
The problem with Beaton always was, never was that he wasn't a talented player, but it was that he, when playing with Scott Brown at the time, the two of them slowed the ball down too much right back then when they played together. Now, we don't necessarily play in that same style, but with Beaton moving back into midfield, now that we're 5 years on from that, is that problem going to have gone away? I highly doubt it. So I think what we would find that he is good to come in and maybe shore things up a bit, because quite simply it wasn't working with Beaton and Rogic, Turnbull and Rogic together. It just wasn't working.
I'd been saying this podcast for a couple. I'm sick of Tom Rogic, man. me and him are finished.
Yeah, but just to finish up on Beaton, what I mean is that what we'd probably find is that he could come in and do quite well in these games, shore things up a wee bit, but long term, I just don't see it being a long term option for a team that purports on the surface of things to move the ball really quickly. It's all constant movement. No, do you put Beaton into that? Then I don't think so.
If you're looking for a play, if you're looking for a player to break up the game, right, and we're looking at Beaton or maybe McCarthy to break up the game, you just need to look across at Aberdeen. They had a guy absolutely sensational at breaking up the game, Bobby Madden. Done an absolutely brilliant job of being, honestly, see, for a guy that wants to be a celebrity referee with his podcast appearances and his Instagram account, just be good at your job first. Yeah. Don't be absolutely shite at your job. He was awful. Now, I saw Alan tweet Celtic by Numbers. He was saying very rarely does a team in possession have more fouls than the team out of possession. And I had a wee look at the stats, and Celtic had 62% possession, and we occurred 27 fouls. Aberdeen only got 10. There was periods in that game, I don't know what it felt like for you watching it, Melly, for the stands, where every time an Aberdeen Celtic went near an Aberdeen player, they hit the deck and Madden blew for it.
Yeah, it was very frustrating, and look, Madden was at it, and I don't expect any less, but Celtic need to be more savvy, they need to be more streetwise. Again, it comes back to this team of wee guys. If we are going to play the way Ange wants to play and press like that, you cannot be pressing like Jota and Abada where you've got a fullback in the corner, push them back. You can't put your body near him. Just stand off and push him back, because as soon as you touch him, he's going to go down. And it just takes the whole pressure off. They take ages to take the free kick. They bring everybody forward.
It was all over the pitch, though. It wasn't just Jota and Abada. It was absolutely everywhere. Every time we went near an Aberdeen player, he was blown for it.
That's fine, and I take that on board. But Celtic need to be more streetwise. Near Beaton was, apart from Joe Hart, the most experienced player out in that pitch, age-wise, maybe McGregor aside. He gave away stupid fouls, like on the back of players getting the wrong side, the same things we've been having a go at Sorrow for. You can't do it, because Celtic, the way Ange wants to play, it's constant in teams' faces, but you can't get that close, because teams will go down, and it'll happen in Europe as well. As soon as you touch somebody, they'll go down, alleviates the pressure, goes back, and then it loses the crowd as well. Whereas if you're just harrying somebody, that wee touch away from them and then showing them into difficult angles, they'll make mistakes through passing rather than giving away free kicks. And Celtic, well, Madden and every other ref, we're going to get it all season. We've seen the Rangers-Hibs game. We're not going to get anything unless we do it ourselves. So we need to be more smarter, I think.
Do you want to see, Stephen? You know, I don't normally advocate for this sort of thing, but this season it's been, I mean, we saw Madden in the Hearts game as well, not just against Bobby Madden, the standard of the referee, and it's abysmal. And there's talk about they want to bring in VAR. I know, it'd be the same. Aye. Dumplings. As I put it politely, because I want to get the YouTube pass, whatever you get, right? Why are we giving these referees television screens to look at when the thing's happening right in front of them and they still can't get the decision? It'll be the same guys looking at it. So maybe park the VAR and spend the money on professional quality referees. But, I mean, that was an abysmal performance.
Yeah, so that old, is it the old quote, in relation to Real Madrid having sold Makaleli and brought in Beckham, it was like, it's basically like applying another coat of paint to a car that doesn't have any engine in it. So it's like, in effect, giving referees TV screens to look at when they can't do their job in the first place, seems like, I don't know, can I get in your windows fixed when there's no foundation? I don't know.
It's just going to be that one where, like, guys, we're going to need to be smarter about how we do this, because that TV's there and we can't keep doing what we're doing.
It was very frustrating to watch that game yesterday as well. And it's all the major incidents, but it's the small things as well. You don't get anything. I mean, I was talking just before we turned the mics on, I was talking about a very admittedly minor detail, but it does my head in. So there was one moment late on where Ramsey is, I think, basically kind of wasting time a wee bit. Calvin Ramsey, who had he seems like quite a good player, one of those touchy games, yeah. So he...
Do you hear Stephen Glass's conspiracy theory about it?
No.
Was it you that mentioned this? That's what I heard this. I'll let you tell the story then.
He said during the week that it's funny how Calvin Ramsey's linked with Man United on approaching the Celtic game as if...
Celtic are in cahoots with the newspapers and Man U to
unsettle this player in October. Like, I need
brilliant. Yeah. I see what he means. Absolute genius there. This goes all the way to the top. Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson pulling strings. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and what's his name? Ed Woodward. But
Alex Ferguson, who is also an Aberdeen legend.
Yeah, working against Aberdeen.
So there was one moment where Ramsey was about to take a throw in, and he did that thing where he pretended he was about to throw it, and then no one showed for it, so he stole another 5 yards, and then he did that again, and then no one was coming. He's acting all frustrated, and he stole another 5 yards, and then by the time he actually took it, he'd stolen about 12-13 yards or something like that, and the ref let it go on the very same side within about 6 minutes of that. Adam Montgomery went to take a throw in. He went to move one step and the ref blew his whistle and told him to stop there. It's tiny detail, but it was absolutely doing my head in.
I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here, right? I'm not saying this is what's happening. However, remember there was that refereeing scandal in Italy many years ago, but all the refs were bribed and all that sort of stuff.
Mobbed up refs.
Yeah, mobbed up refs. The way they would influence games was they wouldn't just march out in the middle of the pitch and give the star striker a red card. It was all that. It was what they would do is if it was a 50-50, they would give it Juve's way.
Point shaving.
You know what I mean? It's all that sort of stuff. And I'm not saying these refs are out to influence games against Celtic, but they have got something. There's a mentality there where you're like, oh, can I let Celtic get away with that? Can I let Celtic get away with that? And every time these have, it seemed like every 2 seconds, he wants to be a superstar, Bobby Madden. Who's that ref? And
Dean.
He wants to be Mike Dean.
Did you see him at the weekend, actually, when Pep Guardiola was having a meltdown? Guardiola was having a meltdown about somebody. It should have been sent off for Liverpool. Milner should have been sent off. And it was Mike Dean who was the fourth official. And Mike Dean was like chewing gum and telling him very, very theatrically, calm down and all that. Well, Pep was absolutely having a berkey.
I don't want Celtic to calm down, though. I don't normally advocate for this, but I want to see surrounding refs.
I want to see
Callum McGregor over there. I want to see a couple of the players over surrounding the refs.
I think we are too nice, too soft.
Speaking of soft, the equaliser was very soft.
Yeah, it was a one from a set piece again, a corner. It was a good delivery from Ramsey, who I don't know too much about him, but seeing him in the flesh, he's a really good player. But he liked winding up the Celtic fans.
Looks and, a hun, doesn't he? He's got a hun face.
He blew boots on, but I don't know if he's Aberdeen born and bred or whatever, but he's a good player, so keep an eye on him. But it was a decent delivery in. Montgomery's on the post. Joe Hart, it's a difficult one for him, but it's again, near beaten is beaten by Lewis Ferguson. Just soft again from Celtic. It hit his shoulder, aye, but the guy's getting ahead of near beaten. It shouldn't be happening. And look, it's another one to add into, we conceded from a set piece again, but it's one guy not doing his job. Do you think
Joe Hart should have cleared Montgomery? Montgomery's just getting Joe Hart's. Montgomery is 4'5" and Joe Hart is 7'8". I know they're in the same team, right? But you just clear them out, don't you?
Try to picture that, those dimensions there. But yeah, that's where having the guy on the post that everyone really, like, there's a clamour for having a guy in the post, everybody's screaming out for it all the time.
Pointless.
That's when it becomes a hindrance because, granted, it's very specific circumstances. This, it flew in just under the bar into the very top corner. Now, the guy on the post at 5 foot, I don't know, what is 5'7" or something, Montgomery, I'm not sure. Even if he has an above average standing leap at about 2 foot, he's still not going to get his head on the ball at the crossbar. It's not going to happen. So there's that weak spot there where the ball can just go in unchallenged. If he wasn't there, Joe Hart catches it, in my opinion. There's a bit of confusion. I'm not blaming Montgomery at all because of the laws of physics and all that. He just couldn't get to the ball. He can't jump high enough. But Joe Hart probably should have taken control of the situation, taken it out of Montgomery's hands. Well, figuratively, put it in his own hands, really, and just cleaned them out.
Joe Hart made a couple of good saves in the game. We're starting to get used to that for Joe Hart. There was a chance where the ball sort of looped over his head a wee bit. I thought he was a bit iffy for that chance. I definitely thought he should have cleared Montgomery out, but just having the player on the post, that's something that's kind of been long proven as almost pointless.
Especially the front post. I think back post's all right because it can go back that way, but a front post one, the keeper should be covering
that. Also, you're more effectively going to defend the situation with that extra player in the box, marking somebody, blocking the run or whatever, or even having him up the pitch, occupying somebody. So I think going forward, I don't know if Montgomery just tried to make himself useful. He didn't have a specific corner instruction. He tried to make himself useful and they ended up there.
It's one of those ones as well. It's not as if it's a clean header. It was strange seeing it. It was right in front of us, but because it hits Ferguson's shoulder, it sort of loops up and it's sort of slow motion. Why did nobody stop that? But then watching it again, somebody could have stopped it and it was near beaten for me. He's got to do better when he's man-marking a guy who he's much bigger than.
Jota eventually got the winner for Celtic. Did you have faith?
It was one of those ones where you were struggling to see where Celtic were going to create the chance from because two shots on target, two goals.
And we got that way as the game ended. I know Ange sort of was like, praised the players for trying at the end. I don't know if they, we got the breakthrough, but there wasn't an awful lot of taking players on, losing the ball, making runs, moving. It was all very static, like, shit, what did we do here? Eventually the breakthrough came because, was it Montgomery that beat his man? I can't quite remember how the goal unfolded.
Yeah, Rogic gets it on the edge of the box. It was well worked from Celtic. They worked across and waited for the run, and this is where Angie's system comes in, because a fullback would normally be wider, but he's in there and Aberdeen sort of let him go and nobody follows him. He gets in there and fair play to the boy. I thought again Leverkusen was poor this game. He's just passing was poor again, but he puts the ball across and he could have just had a wild shot there, or he could have tried to test the keeper, but he played it smart and he played it for Jota. Jota, who burst his arse to get in. I think when Montgomery gets the ball, he's outside the box, so burst his arse to get in there. His family
stop
were in,
saying burst his arse.
Yeah, I know. His family were in the stand apparently, so he was trying to impress them. But it was a great finish, and it was just one of those ones where we needed something there, somebody to come up with a bit of magic or a bit of composure when didn't look like we were going to find a breakthrough. And look, that's, I know you said you're finished with Rogic, I said it at the start of the season as well, but it can be effective when coming on in these games like that. Playing 90 minutes at Pataudry is probably not for Tom Rogic anymore, but that wee pass, there's not many players in the team that can make that.
Oh, very good. He comes on and plays one pass. And he's
the Scott Allen clause.
I know, he's everyone's pal again.
The position Montgomery took up to get the ball across, we've seen Greg Taylor in there a few times, so obviously is a thing they're working on, and gradually players are getting used to it. But as you say, fair play to Montgomery, because I would go even further and say he's had a nightmare recently. Yeah. I think he's been very, very poor. And he's a young guy, and we've got to expect it from him, because he's not going to be
never
the
in a million years would Adam Montgomery be playing left back for Celtic at the moment under normal circumstances.
Definitely not. I think he's been poor. I'm not judging the guy fully, but we can only we can only talk about what's in front of us in a game by game basis. And there's no getting away from it. I think he has been poor. Unfortunately, it has now sparked the kind of tiresome debate as to whether he's a left back or not, and I'm like, well, is that the main thing? Because it's like he said he's a left back, and said he's a left back. You see a lot of people saying, "Oh, he's never a left back. He's obviously a winger." But he's
not that good at taking players on, but and he's also, no good at tricking them.
So. Also, how shite must Bowling Goalie be? I hate to bring the guy up every week, but now we've gotten to the point where we're reaching back to Adam Montgomery.
You need to start asking questions.
We need a jingle for the How Shite is Bowling Goalie segment on the podcast.
I mean, Jesus, man. Back to Jota, $6.5 million. He's a player, isn't he? He is a player.
He is, and now comes the debate as well over whether we should pay that for him. I saw people saying, oh, we need to get the deal done straight away and all that in Jota, and people are saying he's not worth $6.4 million, and I'm like, so we demand these options to buy our loans, but we don't want to pay it. But I'm joking about what I've seen online, but that is the going rate for a player like that. See, be honest, today's money, $6.4 million.
Melly, take your earphones off a sec. Jota's a player Paddy Roberts wishes he was.
Oh,
goodness me.
That's fact. Now, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me here. Weird looking wee guy. He looks...
That's quite
he looks 40. He does look 40, and everyone's raving about his hair. Mental hair. I've not seen it. I mean, it is mental. His hair's it's mental, Jota. It's like when Zarovsky first came, and he had the weird hair, and then after a couple of months, the Celtic players obviously got around him.
The duck thing.
You need... See that? I think we're going to see that with Jota. He's going to get a skin fade soon, just like every other.
Stick with it, you man.
Was there something like a Mars Attacks, Jota? Than a,
no, he must blow dry that before every match. It's fucking ridiculous. But he is the player Paddy Roberts wishes he was, Melly, isn't he? Say yes.
Well, he could be, but it's a very, very early to be saying that.
A good bit older than Roberts was when he signed for Celtic. Right enough, wasn't he? Roberts was only about 18 or something like that. Jota was 22.
I just want to see more of him. I think he can impress in some games, but I don't know. I want to see 6 months of him, because I want to see how he gets on when it gets to those sort of games where there's sticky patches where Celtic aren't playing well, and we'll play it to the wide players and expect him to do something. I think he has got the tricks in him. I think he has been better than Abada so far. He's just not got the goals yet, but we need to see a bit more consistency from him, because there's plenty of times in games where he does absolutely nothing for long spells, and look, that winger, that's going to happen.
You're googling George Michael songs there. I'll put it down there if it's
just
obvious.
Like, never mind about what I'm googling. Did I throw you off, Melly?
No, I was finished, but you came in after.
I need to get that gag in there.
We can all feel it when there's a gag building. You simply have to just get it out there so we can all move on.
I start wiggling in my chair. I'm not like a dog waiting to go for a walk. Can I help myself? I've completely lost track. I'm going to bring it on track before we need an edit. So yeah, for me, I think Jota is one of the bright spots in this team. I'm quite happy that we've secured the loan to buy option, because at the end of the season, hopefully there's no debate about, oh God, we're going to lose this guy, we need to try and get him back again. There's a bit of security.
There's no need to just dive in straight away and do it. Maybe with a guy like Arthur Boric back in the time, because you thought, well, this is a keeper and it's 800,000. Mm-hmm. But with this one, there's plenty of time left. We can get towards the end of the season, see how he gets on over the winter months and over the full season, because it's going to be a long season and the team will be very different.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It is going to be a long season, and I think as supporters, we kind of need to make your mind up a wee bit on Ange, because I was thinking about it, especially after the Leverkusen game, which we're about to get on to, but this domestic game, I feel like it's eased a wee bit of pressure on Ange, because the pressure was building. And I think, look, I'm a bit reactionary and hot-headed at times and all that, but we can't ramp up the pressure as fans on a rebuild project that we... like, even last season, everyone sort of accepted it's going to take at least a season to get this team back on track, or at least a couple of months. But we're not even letting it... We kind of said this, it's going to be a rebuild, we're going to need this, that, and the next thing. We're kind of aware of all the injuries and the issues that the managers had, but we're not even letting the thing get to Christmas or October, and people are already saying, oh, Ange's not got it, or you can't do this, you can't do that. And
find a way to win games, was that you last week?
Well, he did find a way to win a game, didn't he? So he was listening and he put the words into action. But the fact of the matter is, the rebuild is going to be difficult. It's going to be ugly. And although I'm not accepting losing to Livingston and drop points to Dundee all the time, some of these wins are going to be ugly. And oh yes, we are going to drop points where we don't expect them. Yeah. But I think there's an element of, as fans, and feel free to disagree, we need to trust the process a wee bit. We might as well back the guy.
No,
if the team are going to lose the league, they're going to lose it with us not backing them or backing them either way. But I do not, I mean, part of me is a wee bit scared of, if we lose Ange, right, who the hell, I mean, where does the board, who did the board get? And I don't trust them for a minute to go and get somebody competent in. Well, so we need to trust the process and we back the guy.
That's why I completely agree with that. I don't think there's any sense in turning this up at this moment. No. I know there's no real call for that, but people are tense about it. But I think it's because...
I reckon if that Aberdeen game went a different way, there would be serious questions about it.
There would be, of course there would, but... I think it's because we've been crap for so long and people are getting antsy about it and people really are used to a certain level of success. I'm not saying anyone's entitled, but it's hard to go from being the best team in the country to really poor overnight. And I think it makes people tense and nervous about it. Where are we going? And every result would catastrophize every lost point. But I can't think of any alternative to this just now, because if we tear up someone who, on the surface of things, seems to have a long-term plan for it, a long-term vision... Where do we go from that? I'm not saying he's the exact right man for the job, because the truth is I don't know. I believe he is, because it's up to the individual to go and do your own research, find out what kind of guy he is, what kind of coach he is, what he's worked like in the past.
Do your research.
Do your research. Vaccines and do your own research. But we did all that. We did all that in the summer, and I think unanimously agreed on this podcast that he seems like the right guy to do it. But what the alternative is we could bin him just now and
get Jack Ross.
Yeah, or get someone else in.
Get Strachan in.
It's either a safe pair of hands like English teams do. Right, English teams go out and do that. They'll bin a foreign coach or whatever. Mm. They'll bin some Portuguese coach or whatever. Marco Silva, and they'll go and get Sam Allardyce. Yeah. And that might result in an upturn in form. It might result in short-term gains, but that's not what we want. We want something a bit longer term than that. If we get rid of Ange Postecoglou, what we're going to have to do is go for a guy like that. We're going to have to get Neil Lennon or Gordon Strachan, or we find another guy who fits the almost the exact same profile as Ange Postecoglou. So those are the two choices for me.
And the difficulty we've got is, well, it's not a difficulty, right, but the difference we've got here with Ange Postecoglou is, this is kind of the Ange trajectory. Come in. I saw an Australian journalist tweet, or maybe it was a Japanese, they covered Japanese football, but he was definitely one of these guys. That
Dan Olowitz,
Is that who it was? Yeah, and he says, this is, glad you could remember because I was Googling it as well. he says, this is textbook Ange.
Yeah.
Defenders not sure of their role, drop points should be dropping, struggling to win. This is textbook Ange first season. And, you know, if there's a lot of fan pressure to get rid of Ange because we're no looking as if we're going to win the league, or we're no looking as if we're doing as well as fan expectation is, and that's fair enough, that also gives the board an easy win. Do you know what I mean? If the fans start to turn against the manager, the board might see that as an opportunity. Now, I don't think it's going to work, but they might see it in their poor decision-making mind to say, well, do you know what? Easy win here. This guy's not doing it. We'll swoop in, save the day, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's...
See, to be honest, as those words were coming out of my mouth, it seemed a bit far-fetched, but you know what? Let's just roll with it.
It just seems that it all hinged on that result there, because if it hadn't went well, you could start to see people who are maybe having wee doubts, those doubts would grow. But with this, I think we need to stick with it for at least this season, probably beyond, because I don't think it's going to be difficult to win the league this year. And I don't think MD's going to come in and instantly do
it. Do you know
better.
What the difficult for me is, though? And I see this a lot online, and like sometimes, like when I'm talking to my dad about the football, talking to people my dad's age about the football, that doesn't work for them.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Celtic Football Club win, and the reason Celtic need to win every game is fan pressure, history, the way the club's always been, the way people are used to it. And, you know, we might not be Man U or Barcelona or in one of these massive leagues, do you know what I mean, competing at the highest level.
Two bad examples, really.
I don't really, and I was talking about teams, and no, it's not really, it's two underperforming teams that usually win in big leagues, but the difficulty we've got, and the reason that our job's maybe a wee bit more difficult, is because you do need to win the majority of your games. It's just the fact of the matter, and I'm, like some of these people, that I was referring to earlier, let's call them like the non-social media Celtic fans, even though some of them exist on social media, they're still questioning, like, you see graphics going about, look where Ralston is, no wonder we're losing a goal, and it's because Ralston's in midfield, and you think, but this is the way Ange wants to play, and I think there's an element of, he needs to break the back of this horse.
Yeah.
These players need to understand, this is the way we are going to play, and if you can't play that way...
Cruel to animals, which I hate.
I don't think they'd literally break the back of a horse, I think it's just... Oh no, I meant to say break the horse in.
This is why... With this thing, I do think you need to go all in on Ange, and see when people are saying Ange has to be a wee bit more pragmatic, I would say don't change it, because if you're a new manager coming in into this team and it's been a shambles and you've got this way of playing, you have to show the players you 100% believe in it. And if it's going wrong at some point, you can't back down from that, because then it just crumbles around you. And while we are talking about this rebuild and this team's not good enough and it'll be different come three windows and this guy's not good enough and this guy's, why should he sacrifice what the way he wants to play because one guy or two guys aren't good enough? What happens long term is you get the players playing this way, you find out who can do it and who can't, and you replace the ones who can't, and you go forward like this. It's going to take Leverkusen getting beat 4-0, a very good team, but these European games, we've got a very tough draw here. It's going to interrupt this league form because we're getting beat by these teams. But long term, I think it will benefit us more going forward.
On the Leverkusen thing, I was watching it and I thought this was like abject at times. And then you kind of look back at the game and you lose a wee bit of perspective in the 90 minutes. But you look at Leverkusen are joint top of the Bundesliga. Yeah. See if that was Bayern Munich that came and beat us 4-0. Last season, we're losing 4-0, 4-1 to Sparta, going absolutely nowhere. Here we're losing 4-0 to a Leverkusen team, a manager who's actually trying to build something and take the team somewhere. And then on the pragmatism, a lot of people say this is suicide tactics, this is kamikaze tactics. I don't know if it's true, but maybe Ange's looking at he's looking at his fullbacks, Ralston, Montgomery. He's looking at the players available to him. He knows they're no ideal, and he's thinking to himself, I'm going to lose this game anyway. Probably we're going to struggle getting into this game. Why don't we go out fighting? Because it's worked. It worked for AZ. Yeah. Taking the game to the better team has worked in the past. And maybe Ange just thought, well, that's going to be my approach to the game. I'm just going to go and try and... how many times as fans have we sat in the stand and we've seen managers try to be pragmatic, we've still get pumped, and we thought, well, at least you want to go and leave one on them, Stephen.
Well, that's been a kind of a bit of a myth about Brendan Rodgers' time, about how he refused to change his approach in Europe. Well, he didn't. I remember games where we turned up to play Barcelona with a flat back five.
Still get
absolutely drilled. So there's not necessarily any benefit to temporarily changing your tactics just to hopefully do a bit of damage control. I firmly believe Leverkusen were going to win that game regardless. See if we'd gone up...
full team out, yeah, Everton.
If we'd tried to shore things up a wee bit, they would have found a way to win that game. They're a much better team than Celtic. I'm not being defeatist or anything like that. I'm just being realistic. They were a cracking team.
Imagine we'd have sat back for 90 minutes.
Exactly. Let's talk about the Leverkusen goals as well. I mean...
well, just before we get on to the goals...
No, I was just going to run through the nature of them. I wasn't going to go into the description. I just mean to reinforce Stephen's point about we're definitely going to lose. One was a wonder strike when the game was already done. One was a penalty. One was a cruel mistake in the box, and their keeper had a wonder game. I mean, I'm not making excuses, but an alternative universe somewhere, that could have been 1-0, 2-1, an easy defeat or a draw. You know what I mean? It was a pumper on the night, and it looked bad. Some of the player performances looked... Anthony Ralston woefully out of his depth. We've been saying it for weeks. We're all proud of him. Came through the Celtic. He's one of us, and he tries his absolute heart out, but he just does not have the tools to do what the manager wants him to do.
Yeah, and he's going to be one of the ones going forward. He's going to get replaced. I think, despite how he wasn't playing great, he was the one towards the end of the game that was still going forward, trying his heart out. And we don't want to praise mediocrity, but if everybody done that, then it maybe we wouldn't have conceded that last goal. And as you're talking about Ralston, this might be a wee bit controversial, but that game would have been so much different if Kyogo could have finished a chance. He had four great chances. Yeah. The one he goes
through... You're right to that, because we criticised Ajeti for it. Yeah. We criticised... I switched between a Yeti and a Jetty.
Yeah, I know, somebody was cracking up about
somebody
that.
Your
Rogic and Rogic.
So I'm going to just keep doing it. it makes good for the comments. We criticised a Yeti for that, not finishing those chances. We've got to criticise Kyogo.
Ajeti isn't a very good striker, though.
Well, we're talking about this, by the way, Paki Bonner on the radio. Would it Giac Omakis?
I think I got that right.
GK. It was GK Omakis. I'm like, oh my God, where did that come
from? Can they not just have a brief meeting before they
broadcast? And can you not change his name? Because I feel really uncomfortable saying Paki Bonner.
Yeah. I'm glad you put Bonner at the end of that as well. That would have been a hell of a clip to take from this. I know. Can they not just have a production meeting? Look, guys, sound it out.
Yes.
What I remember being taught in primary school is sound out the letters and then give it your best shot. Don't just have a run at it and make something up. But it wasn't worse than John Hughes saying Pops the Kogaloo or something like that.
John Hughes is a saint, and I won't have a lot to say about it.
2 weeks in a row. Can I just go back to Kyogo? But just because of those chances, but the one where he goes through, they had a goal disallowed from the off, it was just rightly offside. We went up the pitch and he gets into a great position, goes round the keeper, and Jonathan Tah does brilliant. But the second one where he's put through it and the keeper saves it, he should do better with that one. There was one when we were 2-3-0 down, it's a rebound from a shot and he blazes it wide. Any one of these goes in, it completely changes the whole complexion of the game. Celtic had decent chances, but we had decent chances. We played well for 25 minutes. We make one mistake in Turnbull, which is... he'll never make that mistake again in his life. I've never seen anything like it on a football.
Was he trying to let it run through his legs, or did he just have a glitch?
I think he was going to let it run through, but he's seen there wasn't enough pace in the ball, so he changed his mind, and then he just melted.
Kind of weirdly just nudged the ball and then just fell over. Yeah. Sort of thing.
As soon as you lose that, but that just sucks the momentum out of the game, out of the crowd. The second goal again is just Ralston losing it in midfield, and within seconds the ball's in the back of the net. These are the levels in that Leverkusen game. I didn't like getting beat, but I liked being able to... I'd like to think Andrew would say to the players, look, that's what we aspire to. They're a very, very, very good team, but they're not full of superstars. They have a system, they have pace, they have a lot of talent. They're young players. we can be like that if we can stick with this, isn't it? That's why Celtic should stick with this formation going forward, because Leverkusen, these are the games you'll learn more in. We'll learn more from that than you will 5-10 games in the Scottish Premier League.
I'm honestly as well, Stephen, struggling. It's been a real roller coaster with the Europa League, because it was a must win. We must absolutely get European football. And then it was, we're not going to get it anyway. Now we're in it. We're like, right, we're in it. We're going to do something.
Let's
here.
Get a point.
Let's get a point. Leverkusen, I had a look, are third favourites to win the whole thing. They're third favourites to win the whole tournament. We did take a scalping, an absolute scalping off of them. And now I'm, that's, you know, we lost to Betis as well. And now I'm like, it's a total distraction. It's a sideshow for us, this European stuff. And see, to be honest, I wouldn't be 100% surprised if Ange went, right, let's just get these next few games over and then, you know, out the tournament and just concentrate on league duty.
Possibly. I think there are realities when you're dealing with Celtic in Europe. We're only going to go so far. I mean, we're never going to win any of these tournaments in our current state. Of course, it's a long way off. But you like to try your best to get points, because it builds confidence, it builds a wee bit of momentum. The best chance of winning the next game is by winning the previous one, in my belief. But
did you invent that?
No, probably not. But repackaged it. It wouldn't be the first thing we've completely stolen and passed off as our own on here. But I do take the point that it's probably going to be quite difficult, and we're probably going to go out of this with a bit of a whimper. The thing with Leverkusen is, You're right to point out that it would have been different had we lost in that manner to Bayern Munich, because there's a certain perception there. This isn't the first time that we have come a cropper against non-traditional European giants, if you know what I mean. Like they're good teams in Europe, such as Salzburg and Leipzig and Mönchengladbach back in the day. Come up against these teams who aren't the big guns. They're not Man United, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, or anything like that. They don't have those big storied names. But we run into these teams when they're on the way up and they're really well-run clubs and they've got their recruitment right and all.
Imagine that, man. Imagine well-run.
I'm so jealous. But they're a really good team.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that they're not Bayern Munich. The fact is they're really well.
What could
have
Celtic done better on the night, though? Because there's always things we can improve on, and we can't just sit here on a Celtic podcast and go, oh, hands up, we all thought we were going to get beaten. We did get beaten.
And this is very easy to say, but there's a certain element of it's the Celtic in Europe thing. That's the heads kind of go for, they get fried a wee bit after we concede goals. And there was one point, I can't remember if I asked after the second or third goal, where we conceded and then went to take centre, and Adam Montgomery passed it straight into midfield and they broke away. This is seconds after we've scored, and I thought, oh, here we go again. We're going to end up conceding about 3 or 4 in the usual 10-minute period. So I wish we were better at that. I wish we were better at just gathering ourselves a wee bit, kind of managing the occasion a wee bit better, not letting the heads go. I know it's very difficult to actually action that rather than just say it. I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but I really wish we had a better confidence about the team, where we conceded a goal, nothing changes, the system stays the same, the objectives still remain, rather than that kind of flaky period we have for 5 minutes after every goal goes in.
This is why I think for this season we need to stick with this formation, this way of playing, and just ride it out, because once we get to next season, everybody should know what they're doing, and if we go a goal down, we can draw on like this and go, do you know what, we can come back here. Because looking at it, the things you talk about, Stephen, all the things that, like, why does this happen to Celtic? But every time a new manager comes into Celtic and goes into Europe, they never absolutely storm it, because it's building a new team. Yeah, it's a new
Neil Lennon.
Neil Lennon didn't qualify for Europe for 2 years. He did an absolute shocker.
That first version doesn't count. I'm talking about the most recent Lazio effort and all that, carry on.
Oh, when he get pumped out by Cluj in the qualifiers? That's right.
Hey.
Played Cal McGregor at left back, I can't win. When managers come in, it's very difficult. Brendan Rodgers somehow managed to qualify for the Champions League, but he was an exceptional manager and inherited a decent squad. So with this, we have to keep these players playing this way, so they know when it comes to next season in Europe, when we can maybe aspire to be like Leverkusen, we can draw on this and go, like, this is it. We've let in a goal, but we all know what we're doing. Nothing changes. We play the same way and we go again. Right now, it's disjointed. Some players like Montgomery, Ralston,
aren't going to be there long term. That's it. Exactly. When you're looking through that squad, Ralston, Montgomery, definitely not going to be fullbacks. And this is something that Ange alluded to in a press conference. He's like, I don't have my first choice fullbacks. Tommy Rogic, Abada, probably not going to be there either. There's questions over whether Carter Vickers and Starfelt will be first choice once Julian
comes
all
back. Young guys as well. Yeah. Carter Vickers is 20. Montgomery, Ralston, fairly young, going into the midfield. Do you want Rogic, Turnbull, and McGregor in there? You probably want one or two of them going forward. And the two wide players are young. Kyogo will be decent, but it's just
it just
all
tells
these
the same story, doesn't it? It's just a team in transition. But you do have to juggle both things, you know. I'm not really giving them a free pass for the Leverkusen game as such, because I thought a lot of our play was crap, so disjointed. One thing I've noticed with Celtic recently, and I noticed in the Leverkusen game, Stephen, and the Aberdeen game, see the amount of misplaced passes.
Yeah, simple ones as I think it's confidence, but...
Those are quite worrying, I think, the misplaced passes. And the thing we kind of alluded to that we might talk about earlier, the moment where Joe Hart stood with the ball at his feet for 30 seconds, which was just inexplicable when at the game. Those are slightly concerning, because that's not what...
That's people not wanting the ball.
Yeah, what an Ange team should look like. I'm not going to get into the various kind of, I don't know, quite dogmatic approaches to describing his system and all that, because football's quite a fluid game. Things change all the time. But what we don't want to see is nobody showing for the ball. And I feel like it happens quite a lot just now. This is why the defence gets into the trouble that it does. I think it's not a defensive, to an extent, a defensive problem, but I think it's a midfield problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is. It definitely is a midfield. I mean, Tom Rodgick hides. Yeah. 100% Tom Rodgick hides.
He gave the ball away so many times in that game, and Turnbull sort of became a bit of the kind of whipping boy this season, but in that game, Tom Rodgick gave up, and he just gave up the ghost when he gave it away. And when that happens, and at this level, as we've seen with the Turnbull mistake, you get punished. And the pace and quality that the three behind the striker had was unbelievable. I've never seen a team so quick in transition, and we get ripped apart by it. And this is the way Ange is going to play. That's going to happen. But
and that's one thing Callum McGregor pointed to as well, wasn't it? He pointed to that we struggle in transition.
Mm. And that's going to happen because we don't have mobility in midfield. Callum McGregor can get about, but Turnbull and Rogic, maybe not so much. But this is where you have to learn how to play the way he wants to play, but also don't be giving silly goals away. Yeah. And that's the problem. Teams rip us apart. We did get ripped apart a couple of times and by Leverkusen, as we said, great team. Mm. But the Turnbull one, the penalty's a wee bit unfortunate, but it's Ralston losing the ball in midfield. It's these simple things that if you cut that out, that's a game that maybe we lose 1-0, or if Kyogo scores one of his chances, you can get a draw.
I mean, it was a frantic start to the game. So are you saying, Melly, basically what you're saying is there's no plan B. Plan B is do plan A better.
Yeah, I think that's the way it should be. And look, from what I've learned from Ange is he does have different systems. When he was Australia manager, he played a 4-3-2-1 and... I think that's right.
You can say what you like, nobody's going to say
it's a Christmas tree, 4-3-2-1, isn't it?
He played a 4-4-2 diamond, so he can mix it up. But right now, I think he's just getting the players to play this way. And then once everybody's sure of it, we're going to do it. It's short-term pain for long-term gain for me. This Europa League group, the Ferencváros games are the two games we're really targeting. Yeah. And even then, they were a Champions League group team last year, so they're no mugs. So we're going to need to ride it out in this. Problem with it is taking these beatings in between the league games hampers the confidence. But I think once we get this over and kick on into the new year, you'll really see Celtic kicking.
It's in Ange's hands. It's up to him to win the games. If he's not winning the games because he's playing a certain way, it's up to him to nurse the players through. If he needs a hand, though, Stephen, a couple of guys in studio look as if they're happy to help. A couple of pearls of wisdom from Neil Francis Lennon and Paul Francis Lambert.
PFL. those two were strongly offering their opinion. Do you know what the best thing about having the three-match package for the Europa League is? That I don't need to deal with any punditry. I'm at the game and I don't need to deal with any of that stuff. Yeah, for those two guys to sit there and talk about what is and isn't acceptable as a Celtic manager was quite incredible. When I came back from the game and everybody was talking about Lennon and Lambert, I expected the worst, because we don't hear it. We're at the game, so I expected the worst. I don't know if it was as bad, but I had to laugh at Lambert sitting there talking about how, you don't lose 4-0 at home. Every Celtic manager said poor results at home in Europe.
We've been on the end of a European Willian.
Yeah.
But almost every year one comes around.
We're not the only ones either. You see the rich get richer in these competitions, and it's harder. The gap gets bigger every year, especially with Celtic. This is why we want Celtic to do more wee things behind the scenes, right, to try and bridge this gap.
I saw the Hibs director of football or whatever guy has, whatever position was, he left. I wonder if he'll take the journey across the M8, because we've still not got one of those. We don't have a CEO either, FYI.
No, and... The thing on these results is there's no convincing me at all that losing 4-3 at home to Cluj or 4-1 at home to Sparta Prague is worse than the nil that happens to be in the Bayer Leverkusen thing. That's very silly indeed. But yeah, on the director of football stuff, we'll have more endless podcasts on that probably coming soon.
Because Project Rebuild is just rolling on and on. Good lot of money making that Project Rebuild. Patreon.com/20MinuteTims.
The Leverkusen game hammers that home again, because that's another well-run club that's coming to Celtic Park and absolutely pasting us. Yeah. And it just seems like every season we see these teams, or maybe we should be like them, and the list that we are wanting to be like is getting longer, and the list of things we have to do is getting longer, and the list of things we've done is and blank.
Do you know what's hilarious? It's not like it's a mystery. It's not like the secret to being a well-run club is like Iron Brew or, I don't know, Coca-Cola. There's no secret recipe. All these clubs turn up every season. Well run with directors of football and coaches. We get to see how many coaches they've got and how many directors of football, and we get to see everything that they do. It's all out in the open.
It's all Salzburg and Ajax.
It's okay, it's empty. And we go we don't need to do that.
It's all Salzburgs and Ajaxes and Leipzigs and all that these days. I reckon Barcelona are sitting at their window just staring out into the rain. I remember when Celtic wanted to be like us back in the day.
But without, you know, hammering the point home, all these teams were on the level with us in Europe back when Gordon Strachan was Celtic manager, whatever.
It's gone now.
And they've all just went, and we've just went, bumbled along. The one thing that has held us back and continues to hold us back is injuries.
Yes.
We got Kyogo back and we got McGregor back for the Leverkusen game. They were thrust in there. I liked how Ange played a wee bit of sneaky in there.
I liked it as well. He was asked about the three. So he was asked about Kyogo, McGregor and Giakoumakis. Mm. He was asked if there's any chance of all three of them starting the game. And he said there was 0% chance of all three of them starting the game. So we should have seen it there and then. There was two of them in.
But he did say with the international break coming up, if anybody gets injured on the international break, just don't bother coming back. And that's kind of that
dodgy choice of words when it comes to international.
And to me, I know it's a joke and all that, but it does let you know that, you know, these injuries are also something that's playing on his mind, and we just can't afford any more, can we, with this international break?
All we can hope for now is just don't get any more.
And it's a chance for players like Giakoumakis, McCarthy, Julian, Forrest, all to really push on and try and up the fitness. I don't know if they'll arrange a game towards the end of this week where they can get some players game time, even guys like Scales. I mean, that's five players, even if they are not ready to start, five players off the bench that at least are options. The bench on yesterday just was a winger away from looking quite good, wasn't it? Where it's all players that go, do you know what, if they were playing, it wouldn't be that much weaker. So we just need to get there with this. If we could have Forrest, Mikey Johnson, even Karamoko, just some options, because we're going to need it going forward. And it showed that yesterday, two players coming off the bench, that was the difference between drawing one each with Aberdeen and drawing one each with Dundee United. It changes to make, and it changed the game.
And that's it. Thank you for joining us on this episode of 20 Minute Tims, number 276, where we discussed Celtic versus Leverkusen and Celtic versus Aberdeen. I am your host, Jamie, and these are my two podcast pals, Stephen.
I'm waving for the benefit of audio listeners only.
And Melly. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.